very much for singing. Welcome, everybody, to our carol service this evening. My name's Paul. I'm one of the other ministers here. It's great to welcome you. I love all the time and effort that's gone into making this room, I guess, a bit more warm, a bit more homely, a nice inviting space. I don't know, Joy, how many candles you've put around the place. But candles do really set the mood, don't they, for Christmas. Carols by candlelight, it kind of fits. This warm atmosphere makes a space inviting. But of course, if we were to extinguish each of these lights now, then we would be left in complete darkness. And I suspect the mood which feels warm and inviting would no longer feel warm and inviting at all. Plunged into pitch black. Darkness does not feel good. Darkness is not inviting. We're uncertain in the darkness. We're vulnerable in the darkness. I find that sometimes I have to go out to the shed. And if it's late at night and I'm trying to find something in particular that's there, I open the door and I can't really see what's going on. And I desperately try and remember where I might have left things. So I wander in and bang my feet against the things that are there on the floor that I've left there. Vulnerable, uncertain in the darkness. Now what you're thinking to yourself is, well, Paul, if you're going into the shed and it's dark, why don't you turn the light on? And that's the right question to ask. Why don't I turn the light on? That's what I do. In the darkness, I scrabble around for my phone and I desperately try and find in my phone the torch so I can see what's going on. And I guess that's what we all do, isn't it? Anytime you go into a dark room, thanks, Hannah, the first thing that you'll do is search for the light switch. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't it tell you that darkness isn't good and that we actually need light? Well, that is why Christmas is such good news. John writes this about Christmas. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Christmas is all about Jesus bringing light into everyone's darkness. But how? Well, the first thing I want us to realize and appreciate is that we're all in the dark about God. If I ask you now to tell me about God, what would you say? Perhaps that question might even throw you. But what is God like? What would you say? Well, I do my time-old thing of searching the various depths of the internet to see what people are saying. And this is what Robert J. Kolker said. He says, no one knows the least little thing about the real God. There are lots of made-up stories brewed by the preachers, the rabbis, the imams, the priests, and the slick operators. Alternatively, Nadav Bergman. I've never met any of these people, by the way. He was a really cool dude last time I saw him. We cracked open a few beers, had a Doctor Who marathon. Great guy, actually. Or alternatively, if you go onto Wikipedia, there is no clear consensus on the nature or even the existence of God. Now, the thing that intrigued me about this is that it's footnoted. I mean, somebody actually took the effort to write an article to prove that there is no consensus about God. We don't need an article. We all know that. We know that there is no consensus as to what God is like. Some will say there is no God. Others will strongly disagree. Still others might say that every religion is worshipping the same God, just in different ways. And that kind of sounds really humble, saying everyone's right. But at the same time, they're saying everyone's wrong, which is probably a bit less humble. Because the Muslim doesn't believe that, the Hindu doesn't believe that, the Christian doesn't believe that. It must tell us something. If there is a God, then humanity, if we're in the dark, must be disconnected from him. We don't know him. We cannot know him. We're in the dark about God. But the Bible tells us that we don't need to remain in the dark about God. Because in fact, God does not want us to be in the dark. The reading we read said, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." We're in darkness about God, but Jesus enlightens our darkness. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Look at the wisdom of his teaching. Look at the compassion of his heart. Look at the generosity of his hands. Look at the grace he shows to the outcasts and the oppressed. Look at the power he demonstrates in his miracles. Look at the challenge he even lays down to the proud, to the arrogant, to the hypocrites. If you're in the dark about God, then Jesus promises to show you what God is like, because he claims to be God himself. And when I've spent time getting to know Jesus, I've discovered that he actually is the God that we would all want to have. But maybe you're sitting there and you find yourself in a position where you think, well, that's all well and good, but I actually don't really care. I'm perfectly happy being in darkness about God. And the reality is we are all perfectly happy to be in darkness about certain things. I do a regular pub quiz with some friends, and they would tell you about the various different categories that I am certainly in the dark on. I'm in the dark on celebrities. There's a picture round which comes out at the start of the quiz, and I am useless at it, because normally it's just pictures of soap stars. And knowing soap stars would probably help me for maybe 2 points a week in a pub quiz. But it's really not important enough for me to really care about it. I don't care that I'm in the dark about the latest celebrities, because it has no consequence for my life. But the light that Jesus brings actually makes this question probably more important than that. Because the light that Jesus brings isn't just intellectual, to tick off as something that we know. But Jesus enlightens the biggest question that humanity is trying to answer: the darkness of the world that we live in. You see, if God is light and we're disconnected from him, then inevitably our experience is going to be in part darkness. And interestingly, the most common objection to the existence of a God of light is the darkness of the world. Maybe that's your experience or question this evening. But everybody at some stage, I think, will ask this question: in my darkness, is there a God of light? Because we all experience or come into contact with sadness or suffering in the world, we will all experience the darkness of the world. It might be distance, it might be divorce, it might be depression, death, disappointment, despair. Maybe you found yourself asking that question: what's wrong with the world? How could it be made right? And the thing is that everybody, because they're asking that question, will again come up with different answers, because we're in the dark. So those who believe in karma will say, well, your darkness, it's your fault. You deserve it. Buddhism will say, your darkness, well, rise above it. It's not really real. Religion will say, try harder and maybe you'll work your way out of it. Evolutionary science will tell us that it's nature's positive way to get rid of the weak. Atheism even will argue, well, that's life. Don't complain. There's no one to complain to. There are no answers. And it strikes me that for those who are in darkness, these answers provide very little comfort and no compassion. But Jesus is different. Jesus is different because Jesus enters our darkness in order to bring light. As Michael was telling us earlier on, Jesus came into our world, and as his story unfolds, we realize that he knows our experiences. Disappointment. His closest followers, who showed so much promise, rejected him. Family breakdown. His own family turned on him at different points in his life. Depression. Well, yeah, I think so, where the anguish of going to the cross caused him to sweat drops of blood. Distance. He was a refugee in the early moments of his life, away from home. He was separated at the end of his life from his very own father. Death. Jesus knows it. When one of his closest friends died, Jesus wept. And one of the Bible's names for Jesus is Man of Sorrows. If you know sorrow, so does Jesus. And as we know, Jesus' life climaxes at the cross, where we see he doesn't just enter our darkness, he experiences fully our darkness. As Jesus dies on the cross, the gospel writers record his words. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, he experiences that disconnection from God, his Father. And interestingly, something else happens at that very moment. It goes dark. It goes dark. Jesus, separated from his Father, experiences darkness. And the world tells us at that moment, nature shows us, this is our darkness. It was as if the light that had shone at the beginning of time was extinguished. It shows us that the root of our darkness is our disconnection with the God of light. When Jesus dies, he experiences the full effect of humanity's darkness. He accepts its consequences. But the story doesn't end there. 2 days later, John tells us that some women came to the tomb. He even says it was dark at the time. And when they arrived at the tomb, they realized that Jesus wasn't there. The sun in one way was about to rise, but the Son of God had already risen. And Mary met Jesus in the light of day that first Easter. Jesus came into our darkness. He triumphed over it. The light that shone in the darkness meant that the darkness could not overcome it. That's why the promise of Jesus that was there in our reading, this promise, to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If we're ever to reconnect with God, we have to receive Jesus, to believe in him, to trust him. That's the offer of Christmas. That, as Michael said, is the greatest gift of Christmas. Sainsbury's would say that the greatest gift that you can give is yourself. And actually, that's what God did. He gave himself at Christmas. He came to us so that we could reconnect with him. And that's the invitation that he gives us this evening. To receive Jesus, the one who enlightens us about God. The one who brings light into a world without God. We're going to sing these words very soon. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Receiving the King means heaven and nature singing with joy. Maybe pick up a gospel and find out more. I won't show them here because it's dark and you won't be able to see it. But pick up a gospel, find out more. Or maybe there's a Christianity Explored course we're going to be having after Christmas. And you could look into more as to who Jesus is and what he claims to be. Because we can't be content to be in the dark, uncertain, vulnerable. No, instead, we want to come into the light. Jesus reconnects us with God. But before I finish, just a brief caveat to all this. The darkness that humanity faces is not a specific darkness that's related to things that we've done. No. Christians will still face darkness. And at times that darkness will be deep. But we have two things in the midst of that darkness. A God who knows it. And a God whose light has proven to us that darkness will never win. And so we look to him. Last year the kids were away for a few nights. So Karen and I headed into the late evening out into the Peak District. We headed out towards Lady Bower and just sat looking up at the sky. The Perseid meteor shower was at its height, shooting stars whizzing across a black expanse. And as our eyes adjusted, the radiant planets, the twinkling stars, the swirling Milky Way came into view. The heavenly lights were beautiful precisely because they shone in the darkness. Without that darkness, we would never have appreciated the light. And it's the same for Christians. Christians, in the midst of their darkness, look to the light. And the greatest thing about this day was that there was another day that followed when the sun rose and we're able to enjoy more of God's goodness. So please, tonight, don't be content with the uncertainty, the vulnerability of your darkness, but look to the true light who enlightens everyone who came into the earth that first Christmas day. As we're about to sing, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." We're going to sing that. We're going to sing "Joy to the World." Let's stand and let's sing.